Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
we're doing something a little bit different, but just a little.
Just to mix it up?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying other... Okay, it's the secret podcast. This is what people get. I am trying alternatives to Skype.
And I didn't even hit record, so I hope you're recording this.
I am. So... I hope you sound okay.
Yeah, me too.
You could start recording
without a net, people. I guess, but now we've started the podcast.
Yeah, but I could cut over to the good sounding one from the less good sounding one.
Please request record permission from the meeting host.
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to use like Audio Hijack or something. I don't know if you can. You're logged in as me, by the way, which is really annoying. So you should stop.
I changed my name.
Yeah, but it logs me out every time you log in.
Oh, really?
When you're not. Yes, behind the scenes, you should probably only use that when you need my power of.
I actually have no idea how. How I'm even logged in at this point.
It's
I'll
in the
have
app.
To figure
I think.
That out.
Yeah, well,
I am in
you
the
know.
App. It's so confusing.
We're trying some different stuff.
I was not prepared for this today. I was.
I didn't prepare for it either. I just did it. I was like, let's try it. Let's see what happens. And this is what it is.
All right, we're learning a lot.
We're learning as we go. We're growing. Summer. This is the end. Like, we're here on the Friday before Labor Day weekend. It's over. Summer is over. The Apple event invitations have gone out. It's Labor Day weekend. My kids are back in school.
I'm wearing white. It's really...
Well, you can wear white. Get it in now, man. Get it in the next couple of days.
This is my last hurrah.
Yeah, you have the white suit on. You're looking like Moon Knight.
Moon Knight / Tom Wolfe. That's basically my aesthetic, as everybody knows.
You gave away Moon Knight's secret identity as the author of The Right Stuff. It is one of his many identities.
Yeah,
this is what people tune in for. So Apple events invites went out, so it's official now. It is official that our days in the sun are numbered, and we are going to be diving into the... As I wrote in the Six Colors magazine, which just went out right before we started recording this... I would prefer it if Apple took all their product releases and staggered them across the whole year instead of releasing more than a dozen products in probably about six weeks.
Apple really cares what we think. I mean,
that was my point, is they don't care. They care about getting a lot of products out for the holidays. So that's what's going to happen. And we will be very, very busy people, which is exciting because, you know, there's not as much going on in the summer. To be honest,
this is true. I mean, are there any really any surprises left for this Apple event, though? That's the real question.
I think there are. Yet to be spoiled, I guess, is maybe the way I should put it. In the next 12 days, there will be ample opportunity to spoil more things about this Apple event, including what's in it. Like, we know some details about the iPhone and the Apple Watch, although even then, we don't really know everything. We know some screenshots that got leaked because apparently there are people at Apple who put... images of unannounced products on publicly accessible web servers, which is just wow. Don't do that.
Seems like a bad decision.
Yeah. What are they? Well, no, but you know, security through obscurity. What could go wrong? Anyway, so we know that, but like, we don't know. We don't know. But will the iPad be at the event? Will there be Macs at the event? So what are the details of this? Is that crazy Apple Watch complication with like, or a face with like 90 different complications on it? How does that work exactly? And do you get to choose what complications go there, or is it all just kind of preset? You know, there are a lot of details questions. I feel like that's pretty much what we get at Apple events now, is we know the big picture going in. It's all about the details and how Apple chooses to emphasize them.
Perhaps it was all just disinformation to keep us away from the true announcements.
I'm telling you. For a company, I know it's just not worth their time, and yet for a company with as much money as Apple has, pay somebody to do disinformation. I mean, the problem with disinformation is you get people excited about something that doesn't happen, and then they're disappointed.
Right.
But
it potentially screws. I don't know how much that ends up being a financial issue if you start releasing information that causes the stock market, for example, to make moves. Seems like that could be risky.
Yeah. I suppose, although it would allow you to do things like if you put up like 10 different price lists with different product names on it and people don't know which one is real, that would be like just confusing we don't know which one is real. That might not be bad. Like, is it $899? Is it $999? Is it the iPhone XS? XS?
Right. The XS.
Yeah. Yeah. XS, anyone? All the jokes you'll be hearing for the next month, we bring them to you now.
Or possibly next year.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's exciting, and also I have that, I'm sure there's a word for it in German, that I'm not tired now, but I can feel the tiredness that I will feel because there's a lot of work that happens once I talked to somebody at Apple PR who always, you know, they're like, everybody who's involved in building up to the day, like they build up to the day, and that day, the 12th, will be the busiest day for all of us. But for them, it's all of the prep work leading up to that day. And then there's a little bit, and then it kind of starts to tail off afterward. Whereas for most of us, it's the reverse, right? Who are covering it, where we do a lot of waiting around and a little bit of prep, but mostly waiting around until, unless you're Guillaume Rambo, in which case you'd find all the files. But the rest of us, you know, that's the busiest day, but then the busyness continues after that. And that's the pattern. I found out when I taught some classes that it's actually the same pattern as with teachers and students, where for students, you ramp up to the end of the year. And for teachers, at least my experience was that it's much harder at the start. And then by the time you get to the end, everybody's working on their big projects and taking their finals and things like that. And it's like, that's the easy part. It's reversed.
But yeah.
It's reversed for me. That was my experience anyway in the classes that I taught, because they ended up with kind of like progressively larger projects as the semester went along. And so in the end, like the last few weeks, they're working on their final project, which is the most intense work of the entire semester. And for me, nothing. Just whatever. It's the easiest time. Anyway, yeah, it's here we are again.
Yeah, it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested by the Apple Watch image because I feel like it's exactly what I kind of wanted from an Apple Watch upgrade, which is to say it looks like an Apple Watch. It doesn't break band compatibility, it seems like. Mm-hmm. The idea is, and this is for those, I mean, really, I guess spoilers for the Apple event. Sorry, if you want to be completely surprised, I think that that's not going to happen. But the idea has been out there for a while now that they were going to try to remove essentially the bezel from the Apple Watch. So be able to run the pixels, because the Apple Watch has that OLED display, which means that it looks like it's one thing, but because it's got everything's got a black background. But the reality is that the corners of it, the edges of it are not screen. They're black.
You can tell if you look at it where the image stops, right?
Like, yeah, that's exactly
pretty,
right.
Yeah, pretty obvious.
So the new image suggests that now it's going to go all the way to the edges, which means that there's more room on that face for stuff. And then there's that picture of a watch face that's very much like the face that I use, the utility face, but it's got a bazillion different complications and stuff in it.
Well, it's still got an analog watch face too.
Yeah, well, that's what I like is that I like the analog watch face, but I also want to put a bunch of complications on there. And right. So, you know, again, I feel like it spoke to me and I'm excited about it. This is also my wife has a Series Zero. So I'm also excited about a cool new Apple Watch because we've been waiting. This is the moment for her to get a new watch.
Well, same with me. I'm using the Series 2 that you gave me, but I haven't bought an Apple Watch since the original. So
exactly.
For me, this is a big update potentially. Mm-hmm. I like particularly on that watch face. It looks like the complications, they're emphasizing the complications being more dynamic.
Yeah.
Because, for example, they've got that range for like, there's a temperature thing, but it shows like the highs and lows. There's a timer that has like a progress bar actually on the watch face. So like, you know, if they're trying to figure out a way, because all of those things, you know, I think most people who use the Apple Watch would probably agree that you don't want to spend too much time navigating into different apps. You want as much information as possible surfaced on the watch face. So being able to not have to like, so, you know, there is a complication for starting a timer, for example, but it really just opens the timer app, which is usually not what you want, right? Like it's another step. And then you have to like either keep the timer app open or, you know, check that or use the timer app the whole time and it takes over the whole screen. So, you know, anything that sort of makes that more of a multitasking, like in one screen device, is going to get closer to realizing the idea of what the Apple Watch really should be, which is this kind of dashboard of stuff that's going on. So yeah, I'm intrigued by it. I like the kind of stuff that they're showing off there. It does look kind of crazy busy, which I understand may not be to everybody's taste.
But I think the idea there is, it's I get why people think, oh boy, that's so busy. It's like, fine, don't use it then, right?
Right. Yeah,
but don't reduce my options because you're like, oh, it's too many things. Yeah, okay, I want some options with more things. And if you don't like that, don't do it that way.
Right.
I do feel like this is also like the Apple Watch fundamental design was for a much less capable device all those years ago, right? 4 years ago when it got announced and shipped 3.5 years ago. Like, it wasn't very capable. It was like a weird, just kind of like external screen for things running on the iPhone, and it's come a long way. The Series 3 is pretty powerful.
I mean, it had apps from the get-go, and that was part of the problem, too, was overextending.
Yeah, but the apps weren't really on it. The apps were images being sent by the iPhone, right? It was, they had the idea of apps, but they also had the idea of complications, because it was all just a whole thing, bunch of things dumped in the bag, and let's see what sticks. That's not the metaphor, dump it in a bag and see what sticks, unless it's Frito pie, that doesn't work.
Well, if you're marinating chicken.
So the complications there, but they're static. And back in the day, they like didn't really even update very often and all that.
Right.
So we've come a long way, and like some of the ideas still work, but some of them, I think, like you said, with the complications, it's like, first off, complications are better than apps because they're in your face and you can tap on them to open an app screen, which you don't even need to think of as an app. It's like more information about what I just saw on my watch face. That's fine. Like that works. And then having them be more dynamic, the watch can make them more dynamic. Now it has the power to be able to do that. It has the power to be on a cellular network or on a Wi-Fi network and load data itself. It doesn't even necessarily need to talk to the iPhone. Like, it's come a long way, and some of the original conceptions have not changed. And like, I would say the percentage improvement, like this Apple Watch is going to be so vastly more powerful than the one just 4 years ago.
Sure.
Or 3.5 years ago. So like, you gotta update the UI. You've learned in the last few years, but like, this thing can do way more than you were hiding its limitations before, and now you need to enhance all the things it can do
to bring them up to date with the hardware. I think that for me, the way I would model this, and granted, you know, this is just off the top of my head.
You
like,
wear the white suit. You'd have your stylish gold watch. That's how you model it.
I have a watchband that matches. I would say the complications, for example, you know, I think the idea of apps on the Apple Watch is overall a pretty dumb one. Like, I just don't think no one wants to spend that much time interacting with an app in the same way they want to interact with an app on their phone.
Right.
What I do think is you're totally right that you need to be able to like get more information. So frankly, I'd like to see more of like using the force touch, 3D touch option where it's like, you know, tap and hold or press on a complication and it pops up more information. But like, in most cases, I don't need to spend a lot of time. If I'm interacting with my watch for more than about 2 or 3 seconds, I'm already frustrated and annoyed.
That's right. Yeah. No, yeah. It's true. And that's why having that app list, like I have the app list. I don't have the honeycomb thing anymore. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, 99% of the time, I am using the recent app thing with the side
dock.
Button.
Yes.
Or I'm tapping on a complication. And if I can tap on a complication, that's what I do. So like, I have Overcast as a complication and I can tap on it. I'm going to write a piece about this. It's Friday now, so it looks like it'll be next week, but I'm going to write a piece about this. I finally did something this week that I have thought about doing with an Apple Watch since the day it was announced. And it was not technically possible, really, at least the way I wanted to do it until now. And although I'm not supposed to share any images, but I think I'm not sworn to secrecy. So I will say I'm testing the new version of Overcast, which automatically encodes and syncs all your podcasts and playlists to an Apple Watch. So you can just run with your Apple Watch and all your Overcast podcasts are there, synced properly with the right timestamp and all of that. It's pretty great. And then I'm using an app called, what's it called? I got to look it up. Don't make me go to the app list. Intervals is the name of it, which is doing my running intervals, like run for a minute, walk for a minute, run for 5 minutes, walk for 2 minutes, that kind of thing. And It totally works. Like, I've got my podcast playing, and it's telling me when to run and when to walk, and it's logging it to the exercise, you know, the activity database, the health database. And I'm running with literally nothing in my pockets except the key to my house, and I've got my watch on, and I got AirPods in, and it totally worked. So that's very exciting. But again, I'm using Overcast from the complication. And I'm using, basically, I don't use that many apps on my Apple Watch, so I'm using Intervals from tapping the side button like I just did to look up its name. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, and so, you know, it's fine that there are technically apps there on the Apple Watch, but yeah, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. It's like, as we keep going here, it's like, everything should just be contextual. I don't want to launch an app. I don't want to use an app, even though I am using an app. But really, in Overcast, all I want to do is say, what podcast do I want to listen to? Play, and I'm done. What playlist do I want to be in? Play, and I'm done. That's it.
Right. I mean, it's similar. And Apple's moving in that direction, too. I mean, we saw in the watchOS 5 beta, the features that are like the automatic detection of beginning or stopping a workout, for example. Like,
oh God,
Apple
so
knows
good.
You don't want to like spend your time like, okay, navigate in, because I used to forget all the time. And now, honestly, what I love
all
is...
all the time.
I love that it, like, it's basically... I think it's probably around 10 minutes if, like, notices your heart rate's been sort of elevated or you've been moving around for about 10 minutes. It seems to be like, yeah, you probably forgot, because I've noticed that my walk to the coffee shop, it, like, triggers basically when I get to the coffee shop. Like, so I usually turn it on really brief and then turn it off immediately so it has logged my walk to the coffee shop.
Right.
And that's fine. That's totally fine. Like, I'd much rather have it be like, hey, like, looks like you did some exercise. Do you want to log that rather than having to remember? Because I never did before for my walk.
This feature should have been there a long time ago, but I'm glad that it's there now. And it definitely seems contextual, because I had it happen where I took a hike, and then I got back in the car and we started to drive, and it immediately was like, I think you're done with your hike. And I think it was literally like, you're going too fast. Your speed has changed.
Oh, interesting.
And so you're now in a car. You're not exercising anymore. And I used to have these hilarious, you know, outdoor walks where at the end, suddenly I was going 30 miles an hour.
A
couple of miles. Like, no, because we have to, we drive our car to the trailhead, basically, and walk the dog.
Right.
And, yeah, so that I was like, all right, good job, Apple Watch.
Yeah, so if you start going for a run or something, it probably keys into it being much faster, right? Like, there's a room for flexibility, right?
Because how fast am I going? What kind of, am I detecting a rapid pace of steps? Because it can do that.
Right.
Is my heart rate going up?
Right, yeah. Time too, because like, oh, I just ran for the train, right? Like, it's a little bit different than I went for a run. So it probably knows, like, okay, this has been sustained for at least a minute or something. You're probably not just jogging to catch
the bus. It looks like you're running for a train. Would you like me to log that for you?
Would you like me to stop the train? So I think that's the machine learning stuff, I think, at work there. And that's a good usage of that, because it's not something that takes it entirely out of your hands, right? Like, if it pops that up and you're like, oh no, I was just running for the train, you can hit cancel and it's fine. Like, that information just gets, you know, put wherever that information needs to be. But for me, for most of the time, like, I was always used to forget to stop the workout thing at the end of, like, when I get off the bike at the gym. I would, like, go over to get, like, the stuff to wipe down the bike, and I would have just forgotten because the timer's also on the bike itself. You know, having that ability to be like, oh, by the way, it really looks like you stopped doing all that workout you were doing, and be like, oh crap, yeah. It's like, I've gotten home before and not realized I left it running the gym, which is ridiculous.
So it's a long time coming, but I'm glad it's there. So yeah, I don't know how we got on this Apple Watch thing, but I mean, I guess I just mentioned that I was intrigued by the image of that, but it's good. I mean, the Apple Watch has been growing. It's got issues. It's you know, we could argue. I get, you know, you listen to people like Marco Arment and other app developers, and they're frustrated with the limitations of it. It sounds like watchOS 5 people are really happy with, that it's like way more capable, and some of that may be that they're confident enough with the hardware now that they're less afraid that apps are going to run away and do terrible things and ruin the user experience. But it seems like it's finally getting there. And I say finally, but it is, I think, really important to note again, the Apple Watch was only announced 4 years ago, and it only shipped 3.5 years ago. And we are going into the fourth iteration of the hardware, and it's come a long way. Like, if you had told me in 5 years, you will get a cellular standalone that's very capable of running its own software and all of these things, I would have been like, well, 5 years, that sounds about right. But it's really, I feel like with watchOS 5, it's really coming into its own after 4 years. And yeah, you know, I mean, it's a pretty good pace.
It's continually improved, I think, in all of those things. Each iteration of watchOS has felt more capable
certainly,
than last.
And certainly. Like, certainly, it does feel a little like they just, you know, they needed... I mean, this happened in the early days of OS X, happened in the early days of iOS. Like, you got to ship the product before you are truly, like, before it's truly built out, right? You get across that minimum viable product or whatever you want to call it, threshold of, like, this can be a product now. But there are, like, there are rooms that are not yet painted, maybe not even constructed, right? And that's just how it is in
the
early days.
Some of it is conception, too. I think the iPhone was, even if it wasn't built out yet, it had a very clear idea of what it wanted to be.
Sure.
It was somewhat limited by the hardware and just the development time.
The watch, I think, was a little more... copy and paste, stuff like that. They're like,
people knew... I think they knew where they needed to go. I think the Apple Watch was less clear in that regard because it was another device alongside it, and people weren't quite sure what they were going to use it for. But, I mean, they've winnowed and narrowed and, like, and focused it much more over the last several years to really hit on. And as they do that and the hardware and the software improves, they've also been able to, like, you know, add new things. You know, we got that. I tried this right before our podcast. I tried to walkie-talkie you, which is a feature, of course, that they showed off, like, in the first... when they announced it, I think. It never shipped, but, like, I think they actually talked about it. I still haven't gotten to work successfully, but one of these moments.
Well, I think I'm not marked as available.
Yeah, it told me. I tried it, and I was like, oh, Jason's not responding. I was like, that's fine. It's cool.
Hey, Dan, so, it's walkie-talkie time. Now, it says I'm connecting to you. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's, yeah, that might need, still need some, oh, wait. Hold on, I got a notification. What is it? What happened?
This is just as fun as using a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, I don't know. My watch vibrated, and then there was nothing. Nothing. Oh, hold on. I heard a bloop. It's got to load the app, too, so this is working
really
well.
Hey, Dan, it's really fun to talk on a walkie-talkie.
Nope. Oh, maybe. It's really unclear. Oh,
hello, everybody. We're going to do the rest of the podcast this way.
I hope you enjoy
podcast.
Goodbye.
Oh, boy.
Everyone is going to regret this. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is... All right. Oh, man. Everyone's going to regret that immensely.
I think that's good. I'm going to set it to don't call me. How do I do that? Available.
I told you never to call me here.
I'm no longer available for walkie-talkie. Now that I ruined this podcast, I'm no longer available. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I think the Apple Watch. I have had, you know, we've had people we know who've kind of fallen off the Apple Watch.
It's very small. It's really easy to fall off.
Yeah. Well, you know, like Marco and Mike both bought a fancy watch and were like, oh, I like fancy watches, and stopped wearing
his too. So we give him a lot of, I give him a lot of crap because the Rebound was an Apple Watch show when it started.
Right. Exactly right. And like Scott McNulty just uses a Fitbit, which is fine. I really like my Apple Watch. Like, I really like it. And part of that is I liked watches anyway. I found my previous watch actually in a drawer, and I was like, oh yeah. And then I got the Pebble, and then I got the Apple Watch. I like the Apple Watch. I like it. I use it for the fitness tracking. It sort of motivates me for fitness stuff. Not always. I'm frustrated constantly by its blue ring for sitting and standing, because I never close the blue ring. And
oh, I close it every day.
And
it's
here's
the only one I can.
But here's the thing. It tells me to get up and move around, and I get up and move around, and nothing happens. And I'm like, what is, you know, like, it's that for me, that's very frustrating, because I can get up and move around for the last 10 minutes of the hour, and it doesn't give me credit for it.
Oh, see, that, like, sounds, yeah, that sounds either buggy or bum, because every once in a while I have one where it pops up, and then it's like, I don't get up, and then a minute later it's like, good job, and I'm like, I totally didn't move.
So that frustrates me, but I like it. And like I said, with this running stuff, with this intervals and overcast thing, like that, being able to go out, and I have the cellular model, but it syncs, so you don't even need the cellular model to be able to go out with my podcasts and take a run or something like that. And I do, in the last year, since I got the cellular Apple Watch, I will say there are a bunch of times when I leave the house and I don't bother taking my phone. Not all, you know, it's for things like walking the dog. It's sure. Not for anything like major, but like for things like walking the dog, I just leave the phone home sometimes because I know people can get me if I need to be gotten. But for the most part, I don't, you know, I don't feel the need. And it's actually kind of nice to be able, like, I'm not going to check Slack, right? I'm not going to check my email. I'm not going to do any of those things. I don't want to do any of those things. And people can reach me if they need to. They can walkie-talkie me. Don't walkie-talkie me.
I don't have an LTE Apple Watch, obviously, and so I haven't. It hasn't been at the top of my list for the features that I really want. In part
it's a limited sell. The monthly charge to add it to your bill is well, I mean, they say it's $10, but it's not because you add in a whole bunch of fees
and
it's more than that, and it's not good. I that's my frustration with it. I think they could sell a lot more of them. And I think your carriers could get a lot more kind of add-on money if they lowered that, if they tried to push that rate down a little.
And I don't think I would opt in most cases to leave the house without my phone yet. Like, it would be more of a, if I left the house without my phone, at least I would feel like, oh, I can still
use
Apple
Pay.
You're still in touch. It's not the end of the world, but it would not be something I aim to do as much. So I'm okay. I mean, the biggest thing I want, honestly, on the new Apple Watch, and we talked about this a little bit on this week's Rebound episode, is the always on screen for at least like the time for me. Because the raise your wrist gesture for me is still somewhat unreliable.
Yeah. No, I don't like that. I would much rather have even if it was not my chosen watch face and it changed when I raised my wrist, just to have a static, like, since I do have the analog hands, like, I would like to have analog hands there that don't have a second hand animating or something like that. That would be fine. Or just a
digital
little
display. Yeah.
A little digital display in the corner that said what the time was would even be something. But to have it be completely blank until I raised my wrist up, I would love for them to get to the point where they could be confident that they could keep their battery life and still have the display on.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's likely to happen this time around. My gut tells me no, but I would be pleasantly surprised if it happened.
Yeah, I would be kind of annoyed if they said it's only on the new models that are capable of it, right? I was hoping that this would be a watchOS feature, but it wasn't, right? So that would be annoying if they said, it's always on, but only Series 4 or whatever.
Well, okay, so we talked about the Apple Watch. What do you feel about... So we saw also the leaked image of the iPhone XS, as we discussed.
Yes.
But like the image itself was a weird one, and I think we talked about this a little bit in one of the member Slack, that like... It's probably a still from a like video.
Yeah, or it's like the opening marketing splash, and then you scroll or something like that. Yeah,
because
the impression I get now.
The look of it is so weird that it, as I did and several other people I know, if you just sort of like get it in a thumbnail or out of the corner of your eye, you're like, what is going on here? Because it's got the round planet on it.
Yeah.
And if you just catch, you don't like in a thumb. So if you send it to like I texted it to some of the guys in like a iMessage, and because it just makes the little thumbnail of the image for the web link, it looked the black of the screen blends so much into the black of the background that it looks like it's like, is this a mouse? It looks like a magic mouse, you know, with a weird design on it for a second. But
yeah,
otherwise,
not meant to be the image that everybody in the world pours over, right?
Oh well, and we don't really have an idea of scale either. So you know, there is the indication at least that there is a small version and a bigger version. Both of them seem to be iPhone X style. So a 10s and maybe a 10s plus, although the rumor is that that's not going to have the plus name. So interesting, but not a lot to take away from it other than it will be in gold.
I guess so. I think people are going to love that giant OLED phone, right?
God, it's what, like a rumored to be like a 6.1 or something.
It's huge. Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah, that seems 6.5.
Yeah.
6.5 inches. That's freaking enormous.
It is. It's not for me, but people will love it.
Me neither. We have to hear about Plus Club all over again.
I was talking to Mike Hurley about it, and he's just like, oh, yeah, that's... I'm like, all right, well, I enjoyed our time together on the iPhone X, but I'm not going up there. I'm not interested in a phone that big.
I don't think I have a pocket that would accommodate that.
Well, and then the LCD model is also a 6.1. So, you know, that's a new big phone, but cheaper, which is interesting. And I wonder, like, if you're somebody who has an iPhone 6S or 7 and you want a new phone, is there a phone for you this fall?
Well, and that's what I want. You know, I'm thinking about my fiance has an iPhone 6 for her personal phone. Because her work phone, I think, is actually a 6S, luxurious. But I she has been slow. And then that's the other thing is, like, with iOS 12, which should eke some more performance out of those older phones, there may be less of an incentive for those people to upgrade, especially if they feel like there isn't a phone that appeals to them. Likewise for users of the SE, right? Because there have been rumors about a new SE, but I'm not feeling confident that you would see anything about this at this event. I don't. It's possible. It's possible that that's just not news that people are that interested in. Therefore, it's not going to see the kind of leaks that you see with the new flagship phones. But I'm not betting. I would not bet heavily on an SE2 at this event.
Yeah, I think that'll come later. But I did have that moment on Monday talking to Mike where I thought, oh, I wonder if the new SE will just be based on the 678 design.
Yeah,
could which would be. Make the people who have the small phones, the really small phones, would be sad. But
yes,
it would be the basically following the pattern of the SE is for the previous design with new guts, basically.
Certainly could be.
Could
yeah,
be.
I don't know. I mean, and that would certainly appeal to some people. But I agree. People like our friend John Moltz, who is a diehard SE user. I think he'd be very bummed about that. But I don't know how much longer Apple wants to keep that form factor around for.
I don't know. I mean, That's a good question. Like, what if it still sells?
Cheap to make, but you might want to retool a bunch of your factories to not be making a design that's super old.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. I like about what Apple's doing with the iPhone is that Apple has decided the iPhone can withstand having a bunch of different variations, and I think that's good because we all have different priorities. You and I ugh at that giant phone, but people are going to love it. They're going to go crazy. They're going to be so happy that phone exists, and we don't care about it. And that I think that's the in this stage of the iPhone's life, the right thing to do is what they're doing, which is we sell a few different kinds of iPhones. They're all the latest iPhone, more or less, but they come in different shapes and sizes because everybody has preferences, and there's ones that are cheaper, and there's ones that are super premium expensive, and take your pick. We've got an iPhone for you. And why not do that? They're at the point where they're capable of varying the product like that, opposed to back in the day where they're like, we can only do one iPhone. Sorry, this is it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that they realize that they're not necessarily, you know, they are trying to capture, you know, market share, but at the same time, they've realized that they're really marketing into the iPhone market. Like, that's how they want to think about it. And if you're trying to make the iPhone its own market, then yeah, you're going to need some options in order to appeal to,
unlike,
to people who want to shop there.
Unlike their competition, where it's like you can literally shop for any Android phone.
Right.
Exactly. Apple has the lockdown on this. And if they want, I do think it also, if they want to steal people away from the competition or keep them as iPhone users, having the variety of options helps them too. So I think that's good, even though I am, you know, less excited about the big phone and also that new, cheaper, LCD phone. The iPhone X, you know what? I love the iPhone X. I'm very happy with it. Even a year later, I'm extremely happy with it. They were right. It is like using a phone from the future to the point where I still feel satisfied that I'm using this awesome phone, and it doesn't feel like it's even remotely close to feeling old. And I realize it's only a year out, but I'm so happy with the iPhone X.
Well, and that's the thing. Before this announcement, and even now, because I don't know what is different about the XS, the question of do I want to upgrade? It'll have better internals, it'll probably have a better camera, but part of me is also sitting there wondering, is there another shoe to drop there? Is there something? Traditionally, even on the off years when they do the S upgrades, there's usually something that's exclusive to the new phone, and I have really no idea what that could be in this case. So at the moment, I'm feeling like, yeah, that looks nice, but do I want to go buy a new phone? And I'm sure that come, you know, the end of the Apple event in a couple weeks, I'll be like, yeah, sign me up for this new phone, whatever it is. But at the moment, I don't have as clear a conception as I feel like I've had in past years what will be the big jump. And it won't necessarily be huge, but there probably will be something, right?
Yeah. I mean, there has to be, right? I mean, other than a new chip. Although that was... See, that's... This XS thing is interesting to me because... sorry, XS. Whatever.
Nope. It's there's no winning.
It's ridiculous either way. It's interesting to me because I had really kind of bought into the idea that they were just going to call it the new iPhone X because... Honestly, I have a hard time imagining what's going to be massively different about it.
Right. That is, I don't either. I mean, with the iPhone X, we got, like, it was very clear what the jump was. Even on previous versions, you know, you went from the 4 to the 4S. 4S had Siri, I believe, which the 4 did not, I want to say. 5S, I believe, had the Touch ID, which I don't think the 5 did. God, they all start to blend together here.
Yeah, I think that's right. 4S had Siri, 5 was longer, 5S had Touch ID.
Yeah, so like there's always something that kind of rolls
always
into
something.
And
if it's truly going to be a new, if it's truly the new iPhone X, yes, right. It has to have more than just the new processor, right? And the camera is so good, like I guess they could upgrade the camera some more, but like maybe it'll have second generation Face ID so that it'll ID you sideways or have more
support for more faces or whatever. Mine doesn't work that well. I've complained about mine a bunch, and either mine is a bum unit or it just doesn't work that well for my face because I have a lot of trouble.
The
with
iPhone or the iOS 12 betas have I had a beta where it stopped knowing what I looked like. Oh. It was really
frustrating. It's weird because for me the iOS 12 beta has been better on the whole than iOS 11 for Face ID, but it still runs into trouble sometimes. Maybe I don't know. It's supposed to recognize you with all your different accoutrements, but I feel like maybe I just change like hats and headphones and stuff way too often. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Doesn't like me. All right. So phone, watch, any other things that you are personally expecting at this thing?
If I had to make a bet.
And you do.
Crap. I'll bet you a dollar that the iPad and Mac are pushed off till late October.
No, I think that's a good bet. I think that's solid. I would say there's a chance the iPad appears here, but I think it's a low chance.
It's just too many products, and you got to think it's not only the time. It's not only the well. Look, they could do it both ways. They've done this super long keynote where they've just unloaded everything. They have done that. The challenge is it's a super long keynote. Everybody's going to focus on the iPhone anyway. Although maybe if you think it's an S year and it's pretty light, you could jam everything in there. It's an argument.
There's more than one phone too. Yeah, so who knows?
I don't feel strongly either way about this. But the challenge is so then you've got all those products poured in there. You also have to do PR for all those products, right? You have to get units to the press and all those things. And that's a consideration too. It's like, it's kind of hard. Now it's possible that they'll dump it all there and they'll say, iPhone is shipping next week. iPad is shipping in October. The new Macs are shipping in October or November. And therefore they can kind of do their release rollout separate from the event. So I don't know. I mean, I it's an interesting conversation to have, like, because there is an argument to be made if you're Apple marketing that this is your moment. And what are you going to do? You're going to call everybody back to the Steve Jobs Theater in 6 weeks to talk about Macs? Like, why don't you say, like, what do we need to say about Macs? And the answer is Mojave is great. People love the Mac. We have one new Mac to introduce today. We're also updating a bunch of other Macs. And isn't the Mac great? Moving on, iPad. Everybody loves the iPad. iOS 12 is great. Everybody loves the iPad. We have new iPad Pros today. Here they are. Moving on, Apple Watch. Everybody loves the Apple Watch. Again, you're getting it? I'm going to say everybody loves every product that Apple makes because I'm an Apple marketing person now in this scenario. They could do that. They could totally do that. And it would be one of those like, oh my God, they updated everything. They could totally do that if they wanted to. So the question is, is that better? Is that better to kind of blow people away with all of these things? I think it's better if you could make the argument that many of the updates they're doing are not substantial and that they don't need like a consumer laptop. Does that, if that's really the only new Mac, does that need an event? And the iPad Pro, an iPad Pro update with a new cool looking iPad Pro, okay. But again, does that go with the Mac? Do you want them at the same event? Like, I don't know. It seems like they could get away with putting most of this in the event.
Okay. My bet is down on new iPhones, new Apple Watch, recap on iOS 12, WatchOS 5, recap on the tvOS, but there's not really a lot there, and there's no new Apple TV hardware.
TV, right.
AirPower.
Sure.
Got to show up sooner or later. Sure. And then the wild card for me is the iPad, because it does fit with the iOS theme, But I agree with you. It depends on how major of an update it is. It seems like it could be fairly significant, what with the form factor change, if they go with the bezel-less, like iPhone X style design. But at the same time, then that argues for maybe doing a separate event where it gets more time to shine.
You could also, you know, and Mac fans will hate this, but you could also put the iPad at that event and then just release the Mac by doing what they did with the MacBook Pro, which is do some briefings, make an announcement.
But I think they're going to want a time to recap Mojave, so I'm kind of lean towards, if they don't want to shove that in with the iPhone, that the Mac stuff might have, you know, they might do a smaller event
maybe
with Mac stuff and iPad. But what they've done before that, too. I mean, like, at this point, they've done every possible combination in some ways. So my, just, like, not having events for anything.
I'm going to change my bet. What I'm going to say is,
I'll update the bookies.
I'll have to put this in the upgrade draft on Monday. But my bet for now, until Monday, well, I'll change it, is they're only going to do one event this fall. Doesn't mean that every product will be announced at this event, but that they'll only do one event. I don't think they want to do a second event. I think a second event, it's a lot of work to turn around from one event and do another, even if it's already on your campus. Plus, do they want to do a minor? They have not done any event other than last year's iPhone event at the Steve Jobs Theater as a public event. Do they want to use the Steve Jobs Theater for a little event? Do they want to do that?
Do you invite fewer people and have a smaller audience?
And you could do that, right? Because the Mac is not... If they say, look, this is just a Mac event, they won't get everybody from around the world who wants to know about the iPhone. Well, it's number
part of
one.
Me feels like they want to draw all the attention and they don't want to have like a half-empty auditorium. Like, part of me feels like that's a weird... Like, Apple wouldn't want that.
So that's why I'm saying, if I had to lay down a bet right now, what I would say is not every product will be announced on the 12th, but it will be the only event. And the products that don't get announced on the 12th will be announced by other means. That's what I would probably say.
I'm kind of waffling on it. I really don't know. Like, I agree with you. It seems like they could go... It seems like six of one, half dozen the other. And I'm not sure I would care to wager on it, because I feel like it's even
I
money,
would not but. Care to wager on it, for sure. But there we are.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. There's much more to come. And you're traveling anywhere next week, or are we going to be doing this next week?
Next week, we're fine. The week after that, ironically, during the Apple event, I will be on vacation, but I will be somewhere. I'm planning on being a working vacation.
It's going to have to be now, right?
Yeah. Well, I knew there was a good chance of that before. So I will be,
be around
some stuff. Okay. I'll be recording some shows, but I'll be on the Delaware shore enjoying the lovely weather, hopefully.
And you'll be saying, hey, I'm in Delaware. Yep. All right. Well, thanks to everybody out there for subscribing to Six Colors. You should get the newsletter in your email. It should be there already. And we'll be back next week, as you just heard, because Dan's not going anywhere, and neither am I, with more. But until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.